All right. Obligations to Allah, then, are also stratified. And the first obligation is to Allah himself. Allah himself. But because of the impossibility of us arriving at any knowledge of God except through his creation, and because it established in Al-Islam that Muhammad is the best of the creation, yes, then we must say we accept the authority of God and his messenger. So we don't get out of touch with nature and the natural processes. Praise be to Allah. So Allah, Most High, he says, وَلَا نُفَرِّقُ وَلَا نُفَرِّقُ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِ. Continuing the same ayah. And we do not, that is the believers say, after establishing that they believe in what Allah has revealed, his angels, his books, his messengers, and they say, and the Quran gives, وَلَا نُفَرِّقُ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِ. And they do not discriminate against any single one of his messengers. Each prophet or messenger is important, important to the continuity of the revealed word. For it was not us, our society, who decided for God. It was his will ruling. His will ruling. He had already decided. He knew in advance human needs. He created the man. He knew in advance societal needs. He created the societal nature. So he decided in advance that we should have Adam. Yes, that we should have Noah. That we should have all the prophets in the order that they came, peace be upon them. Then we should understand their importance in that continuity, that continual process, that aimed at completion. What was the object of that continuity? Continuity. That was the object of it. Uniformity, consistency, wholeness, completeness. But a continuous line of progress, a process, a progression. Yes, praise be to Allah. So, dear beloved people, we are not to discriminate against any of his messengers. Continuity of the revealed word, and also they are important to the integrity of the office of divine appointment. Nabuwa, called prophethood in English. It speaks of the office, that station that Allah blessed the prophets to attain, or that he reserved for them. That office is an office of men with the greatest integrity. What is integrity? That's a wonderful word. It's English. Wonderful word. You should look it up in a good dictionary. Integrity. Beautiful word. Integrity means conscious in all your being. Conscious in all your being. See, some of us are conscious in just part of our being. We go to God and we are conscious in the mortal being. We don't want to die. We don't want to get sick. We don't want to curse on us. Right? That's one type of consciousness in the believing God, right? Then you find another believing God. He goes to God and he's conscious in more than just the mortal body. He's conscious also in the moral body. Whether he feels threatened or not, it hurts him to know that he violated a principle that his God wants in him. Right? Oh, yes. So there are degrees of consciousness. All of us don't have the same degree of consciousness. Some of us are just worried about what's going to happen to us in this life. But some of our concerns go beyond this life, into the next, into generations to come. We want to be remembered for our truthfulness, for our virtues, for our high morals, for our obedience to our Lord. We want to be proven in His eyes or in His presence. And some of us don't care too much about what the world thinks. Yes. So, there are horizons of consciousness. And some of our horizons go out farther than others. Some of our horizons are very narrow. Oh, yes. So integrity is when consciousness is in the whole being. Integrity, a man of integrity, he doesn't behave immorally or crookedly. He doesn't behave wickedly in any sphere of concern or in any of his actions. No. He can be by himself. He's doing his best. He can be in the company of others, doing his best. Be in the company of the low base, the vulgar, still does his best. He's not influenced by the condition or time or circumstances, etc. He's influenced by his principles. His principles dictate his behavior. Oh, he's a man of integrity. Praise be to Allah. So when we reflect on the prophets or think on the prophets, the messengers of God, and mind you here, all of the important men of God here are put under one description, Rusuli. It didn't mention Nebi. Rusuli. Why? Because a messenger doesn't necessarily have to be characterized as a prophet. But all prophets are messengers in Al-Islam. Because God wouldn't give a prophet unless he had a message. What do you need a prophet for? He wouldn't give you no prophet unless he gave him a message. But I repeat, all messengers are not necessarily classified or characterized as prophets. We know in olden days, a typical messenger of God was one who was full of prophecies, right? He's full of prophecy. And now the shysters have taken over that business. They're always predicting, right? So instead of a lot of predictions, there came a lot of instructions. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So don't be telling me what I'm going to fall into without telling me how to avoid it. Isn't it wonderful how Allah has evolved the human society and has decided that by His will in His selection of the prophets or the messengers? Praise be to Allah. We have to be aware of this terminology in the Quran and also in the Bible. For the Bible makes a messenger an ordinary preacher. I read it myself in the Bible. It says, henceforth, the preacher or the pastor shall be called the messenger of God. So they took messenger from the high station and brought it down to just the ordinary inspired preacher. Right? And that's the meaning that the society of the Western society has accepted. I was on television. No, pardon me. I was on television also, as I said. But this was on radio. I was on radio in California. And this Jewish woman, who was the host, she said, spoken just like a real prophet, just like a true prophet. That's what she said. Spoken just like a true prophet. Now, if I was outside of the Islamic discipline, have been, my head would have swollen a little bit, maybe. Maybe I would begin to have start dreaming. I said, I'm the prophet. God has made me a prophet. And pretty soon, maybe I would walk right to the next studio and start preaching. I'm the prophet of God. I'm the messenger of God. But that's disallowed in this religion. We can't even think that way. But in Western society, it's accepted. Many want to make Dr. Martin Luther King their prophet. And they speak of him as a prophet. I have heard men of reproof, men of distinction in the leadership of our society, American society, speak of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a prophet since his passing. You'll be surprised among who, among the Christian leadership, refers to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a prophet. Call him a prophet. That's because there, Scripture gives a general definition that doesn't necessarily have to be established upon proper divine revelation, but just inspiration. An inspiration not from the source, but inspiration from second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, tenth source. Right? Yeah. He looked at a tree. I got an inspiration. He's a prophet. He spoke so beautifully. That's not in Islam. No, we can't accept that. But we should understand people and the positions that they take, the claims that they make. And we should understand their claims in the reality and environment that they were in. And reject them if they come over into the strict, restricted terminology or restricted field of knowledge. That's right. Praise be to Allah. Thus, the revealed words are understood that say, and I quote Quran, and we, meaning that is the messenger and the believers, quote, and we do not discriminate against any single one of the messengers. Min ahadim min rusli. Not discriminate against a single one. It didn't just say any. It doubled up on the emphasis. Against a single one. That's because the will of God rules over everything. And what he has willed for his communication is important from the beginning to the end. And no part of it can be excluded or treated as inferior or treated as of no consequence, of little consequence. All of it is of great consequence. If I start out now to walk to Washington, D.C., which I'm not going to do, now there'll be hard times and harder times, right? But now, can I get to Washington, D.C. by omitting any part of the trip? Say, look, I'm gonna omit that part of the travel that I did in Chicago or in Illinois. You can't omit that, man. You can't get to Washington, D.C. without traveling through Chicago and Illinois, too. That's part of the journey. All of it is important. It's essential. It's necessary. You can't get rid of it. In other words, you couldn't got where we got now without Adam. And without all of everyone that came after him, till Muhammad the last, peace be upon them. So we have to know how to order priority in faith. Because after all, what are we basing all of this on? Faith. We have some rational ground. We have some logical ground. We have some material support for what we're saying. But ultimately, what does it all rest on? Faith. Because you can't bring me God like you bring me a glass of water, or bring me a glass of milk, or bring me an apple, or bring me a man. You can't bring me Allah like that. So ultimately, what it all rests upon? Faith. That's why Allah addresses us in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal mu'minun. Oh, you people of faith. Very seldom he addressed us in any other way. Why? Because that's the essential content of the believer. Faith. Of the adherent to the faith. Faith. Oh, yes. And Allah says, if you will know me, then I am as my faithful servants see me. Not as the atheist see me. Not as the pragmatist sees me. As my faithful devotees see me. If you want to know me, I am as my faithful devotees see me. Don't go to the atheist. Don't go to the pragmatist who can't see nothing but mathematics. Can't see nothing but chemistry. He can see nothing but the illusion of reality. And that's what it is, an illusion. The proof of it is history. History bear witness that the material appearance is an illusion. How does history bear witness to that, mister? Give it to you very quickly and simple. For thousands of years, we had all kind of false notions about what we were seeing. That's the proof that it is an illusion. And revelation only is the only thing that made us see right. That's right. What brought on the Renaissance, the dawning of the sciences again? It was the revelation revealed to Muhammad the Prophet, the Quran, peace be upon him. That's history. So we see it ultimately rests upon faith. All that we establish, all that we are trying to establish, all that we claim, ultimately rests upon faith. And look how wonderful it is. And this in the Quran. This earth, we're on it. Say, what's holding me here? Gravity. Right? What's the gravity? Oh, I'm standing upon solid ground. I'm standing upon the earth. Because you try to ride on air, it's a difficulty. You jump in the water, it's more difficult than the land, right? So you're standing on the land. The earth is holding me up. What's holding the earth up? Man has found out no solid ground, no water, no air holding the earth up. No solid ground, no water holding the earth up. Influences are holding the earth up. And what is faith but influence? Not the direct contact with an object is holding it up, but an influence from existing in some kind of connection with the object. Is that right? Because they bear similarity in terms of their content or makeup. They have some kind of influence on each other. Some heavenly bodies don't have the same elements that earth has, but nevertheless, they all influence each other. And they are not held up by structures such as brick, stone, iron, minerals. They're held up by influence. Oh, that's a great revelation. I mean, for men of deep thought, of great intellect, that's a great revelation. Yes, influence is holding the earth up. Here you need to hold his body up. You have to rest it on some matter or find a way to use the matter to get up off of this form of matter, or this level of matter, right? You'll use gas or something else to get above this form of matter, this constitution of matter, the solid matter, right? So you'll use gas or something, put it in a balloon, and it'll rise you above the solid constituted matter.
but you'll use matter, right? Yes. And the farther you go away from the surface, the more difficult it gets for you. Right? Yeah. More difficult it gets. But the whole body is held up by the outside environment. The outside environment. Now, we know not only, I know, the rotation of the earth has something to do with its keeping to an orbit and maintaining itself in the sphere that it is in. I know that. I had a little of your knowledge, too. So I know all that has something to do with it. But still, it's influence, isn't it? It's influence. All of it's influence. Out there, they say you can't weigh nothing. Don't have no weight. No weight. Weightless space. Weightless space. And nevertheless, it's weightless space that's holding up the great tons. Trillions and trillions of tons of earth. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful for the believers. Wonderful for believers. Oh, yes. Now, look again. The hardest part of this sphere, this globe, is its outer shell. You can penetrate this shell and go down into a gaseous constitution, liquid fire constitution, right? All in the interior. So we find here is gas and heat holding up the surface. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, how wonderful it is. Some of the scientists have speculated that in the very center, there must be a very hard core. But they say, in proportion to the size of the whole globe, it's relatively small. That's what they speculate. They don't know. That's only a speculation. Now, they call themselves scientists who don't permit faith, who don't permit the unknown. That's what they say, but they are liars. So how have they arrived at a belief now, a theory, that in the center core of the earth, there's something hard? Is it because they find hard core in the peach? Or is it because they find that the toughest organ in the human body is the center one, the heart? They're doing nothing but speculating. They're only speculating. And they fool you. They make you think they don't rely on such. Sell you a bill of goods. Thanks be to Allah who reveals and he discloses all their secrets. Oh, yes. Allah says in the Quran, revealed to Prophet Muhammad, saying, not an issue has been overlooked in this revelation. Believers are to trust that. We are not wise enough to prove it, only as much as we can see. But we are to trust that. I read the book for a few times and I was convinced that the book is perfect, that the book is divine. I was convinced of its purity. And when I was convinced of its purity, I had to accept all of its claims. Purity doesn't make false claims. So I'm convinced that here in this book is the remedy or the treatment for every issue. I don't care what it is. Even your fancies or your dreams, delusions, etc.